So I've got a hard question for you, Gary. I got a question that's going to take a little bit of thought. You're going to have to spend a little time on this one. You might need to even continue to think about it as we speak. Maybe you'll shout out an answer even as I ask. I'll let the Holy Spirit work that. It's an important question. It's also a very troubling question. What are you consumed with? It is so easy in this world to get consumed by different things, isn't it? Especially as different circumstances start hitting, right? Especially as a diagnosis comes up, you become consumed in that. That's all there is. And as you have problems with your children and they're going amok, I mean, that's day and night, isn't it? Or if you have financial issues and you can't make ends meet, that's how am I going to find enough money to pay the rent? You become consumed, but we can also become consumed with many other things as well. We can become consumed with success. We can become consumed with accomplishing something of work and work and work. And boy, I can relate to that one, man. Just keep on working and keep your nose to that grindstone. You become consumed in it. But I'm going to ask you, does God want that? Now, I want to make this really clear. None of these things are bad. I mean, it just is, right? But how do we find that balance? We talked about that before, this balance of having our Lord and having all these other things going on. But I have to ask you, what are you consumed with? Or better yet, what should you be consumed with? And I know the pan answer. I'm not looking for that. The book of Hebrews is going to end on this note, at least for chapter 12. We still have chapter 13, which is a short chapter, which is just kind of a closing out. And we'll do all of that in the next few weeks. But this book has been pretty much insane. This book has been so profound. It has been one revelation after another. We went through this and we talked about the high priest, and I knew we were going to talk about the high priest like for 10 chapters. And it's like, how can you talk about the high priest for 10 chapters? I mean, didn't we exhaust it with chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? We need 5 more? Yeah, we do. There's so much to say about Jesus as our high priest. There's so much to say about how he has made us. And this word, you got to keep this word. You got to underline this word. You got to circle this word. You got to highlight it in yellow, this word. Made us perfect. I don't always feel very perfect. How about you? I certainly don't feel always sinless. How about you? And I struggle with that holiness thing, at least I used to, but I don't anymore. Because I've been made. Mary just did this thing with the women's group. And coincidence, I think not. They talked about this, what was the chart you gave me?
That we are, when we die on the cross with Christ in spirit and rise with him, we were forgiven, washed clean and literally given a brand new spirit.
And Jesus, what was the title over it?
The Great Exchange.
The Great Exchange. That's what Mary was talking to me about the women's group. The Great Exchange. How Jesus exchanged us, and I love this passage, how Jesus exchanged us for all of our dirt and all of our sin and all of our needs and all of our failures, and he exchanged it with his holiness and his perfectness, and he exchanged it. What a deal. Who wouldn't take this deal? If the world understood this deal, they would take it in a heartbeat. Hebrews has been bringing that to light. Today, we're going to have a contrast. Because that's what Hebrews does throughout the entire book. It contrasts the old with the new. The Old Testament with the New Testament. The Old Covenant with the New Covenant. Beginning with chapter 12, verse 18. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read through quite a few little passages in different sections today because they fit together. 18, 19, 20, and 21. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. This is the holy mountain that Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. This is the mountain that they're at the foot of, and he's about ready to transcend this mountain, and they can't even touch it. This is a mountain that is on fire, and his booming voice is coming out of it. This is this mountain where the voice comes out, and they can't even bear to hear what God is going to say to them. This is the covenant. As Moses comes down from the mountain and he has the tablets in his hands, and what are the people doing? They're building an idol. They're building a golden calf. He's been up there too long. Sound familiar? No, Lord, you're just taking too long. We got to get on. We need some help here. We don't think Moses is ever coming back. He's been up there 40 days. Come on now. We're getting a little restless down here. Hey, we're looking at our neighbors. They got some stuff going on. We want what they got. They were trembling in fear of touching this mountain that was on fire. If you can imagine a mountain on fire, what would that look like? They were trembling that they couldn't bear to hear another word from God. But what are they doing? They're building their own God. And they're bringing about the wrath of the one true God. In contrast, you have not come to that mountain, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let's unpack that a little bit. You've not come to this fearful mountain that can't be touched. You haven't come to a word that you don't bear to hear anymore. Instead, you have come to this heavenly kingdom with thousands upon thousands of angels, with the voice of God like a melody. You've come to the church of the firstborn, those born again, those renewed, redeemed. You have come to be made perfect. Perfect, that's such a weird word. I told you about when I used to do animation, and then when we made animation, and we made, let's say we're making a plane, okay? And you're going to make the plane, and you can actually make it fly, and everything, you make inanimate objects as if they were flying. So that's what you see when you ever see a Pixar movie. That's all 3D animation. That's very, very, very difficult to do, by the way. But what we found is that when we make something and it was perfect, like the perfect plane, okay? All the bolts are in place and all the shining metal and everything. And you would look at it, it would look fake. Something was missing. You know what it was? Dirt. It had to have a little dirt, it had a little, some grease, it had some smudge marks, and it had to have some gloss and some shine gone. Because nothing, I dare you to find it, nothing is perfect. You ever get that brand new car and it doesn't have a mark on it and you don't have any dings on it yet, and you know, you're parking away from everybody because you know that they're going to ding it up? At least I do. And it's not long before it gets all digged up, right? Nothing is perfect. Nothing lasts forever except you. You are perfect. We don't always feel very perfect, do we? We feel like we're going to that mountain with the fire thing, right? We feel like we can't touch that mountain, but you can touch it because there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels calling to you and welcoming you to this new heavenly Jerusalem where God is saying, come on in, my son has made the way. Continuing. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. I think that's us. I think we get shook up a little bit. I think God's constantly, we talked about discipline last week. He's constantly shaking us up. He's challenging us. He's asking us, who comes first? That's always the question. Who comes first? And our answer should always be
God.
Thank you, Jackie. That was quick. That was without hesitation. That was without thought. That was a strict knowledge. That perfection. God comes first. Without hesitation. That's what the Hebrews, the Israelites were struggling with. Who comes first? Hey, God, you know, Moses, man, he's been up there for a while. Is he ever coming down? I don't think so. So you know what, God? We're just going to take matters in our own hands here. We'll take care of this. We don't need you anymore. We're going to build up our own God. We're going to have our own little worship session. How did that work out?
Your piano.
I'm always amazed, and I think you are too, that they would make these little wooden images or these big, long, gigantic poles or these statues, and over and over and over and over and over and over, God kept telling them, you know, what are you doing? They can't talk. They can't think. They're wood. Go. Seriously. Are you kidding me? But it wasn't about the wood or the gold. It was about the neighbors. Hey, it's working for them. They seem to be doing okay. They're prospering all right. They're throwing their children inside the fire. I read it again this week. They're literally throwing their children in a cauldron of flames. Not to mention all the other stuff they're doing, man. It's messed up. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, man. It's messed up. And that's just a preview of coming attractions, let me tell you. People can think of some really despicable things. And they dishonor God every step of the way. And they face that fire, that mountain of fire. But God has said, my son has come now. The great exchange has happened. And now you're coming to Mount Zion and the angels. But now that you hear from the angels, instead of the trembling voice coming out of the mountain, will you listen? Will you heed? You didn't heed this, and you're trembling. Are you going to heed the beauty of heaven itself? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we can't be shaken anymore, folks. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. Isn't that what fire does? Like, you ever have a fireplace? Or ever go camping? Toss something in there? Watch it kind of burn on up? Turn into cinders? A little smoke comes on up? Toss something else in there? It literally consumes everything that is thrown into it. Our God is a consuming fire. He is a holy fire. He is a fire that you cannot touch on this mountain, but now he's a fire that you can touch and touch the very realm of heaven itself. And it's the same voice. It's the same thing. He's consuming. He wants to consume everybody when they're waiting for Moses to come down from that mountain. He's wanting his people to be consumed by him, but he is disappointed because they found another way. He is a consuming fire of a holy fire, of thousands of angels, of heaven itself, waiting to consume us right now. God is a consuming fire. I love that. I am not afraid of that. I welcome that. I embrace that. I know that I will not be harmed. I will only prosper. God wants all of me. All of you. What are you consumed with? Man, I talked to some people. I've met some people in my life. One of the first ones that comes to my mind is Pastor Arlene. Man, Pastor Arlene was so connected. She's the one that married Mary and I that performed the ceremony. She's the one I met when I first started out. And Pastor Arlene had this connection with God. She could hear from God. I mean, literally hear from God. I know all my friends in Malu that we go to all those celebrations and all these amazing pastors who are consumed with God. I know so many people in so many churches, including this church here, that will do anything for God, that are consumed by God, and I love to see it, because I'm going to tell you, when I see it, I get a little piece of it. When I meet one of you guys, when I meet a Dave and an Amy, I get a little piece of them. A little Marianne, I get a little piece of them. I get a little piece of Judy and her faith, of her walk, and LaWanda, who always is praying for her neighbors. I can go on and on, because I always get myself in trouble, because I mention everybody but one, and then I get in trouble, you know. But let me tell you right now, even if I don't mention your name, I am thinking of you. But we can always go deeper. And that's a privilege. That is something to aspire to. That is something. I'm glad there's no ceiling here, okay? That we can always be consumed more. So our challenge today: what are you consumed with? And what should you be consumed with? Let us pray. Dear Father God, we want to be consumed by you right now, this very minute, with whatever is going on, whatever is on our mind, whatever situation we got to deal with, all the plans, all the things, all the people we got to talk to. We want to set all that aside. We only want you. We want to be consumed, taken in, swallowed up, complete in you alone. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our might. We love you. Holy fire in us, and all that just goes to the back burner, no pun, maybe a pun intended. And we only see him. You know, I'm going to tell you the magic. The magic is when you help someone. When you help someone, all of your troubles go out the window. Because you're not focused on you anymore. But when you got idle time and you can just focus on you, that's not a good equation. Of course, we got some solutions. Just get into the Word, get into some fellowship, talk with some other believers, talk with some people who aren't believers, and just spread the Word of God and let God consume you. My prayer is for each of us this week to be consumed by God. We have to make an effort here, okay? We have to make it, it's got to be intentional, or everything else will come in its place, just the way it is. But if we just, it's that game of minutes thing, if we just think about God every minute of every day, magic happens. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we want to be consumed by you. Our prayer today is to be consumed by you. That nothing can get in the way. That our only focus, our only sight, the only thing we can see is you. You and others, you in situations, you when we look in the mirror, you, you, you. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Go and be consumed.